Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
It's so nice to see you again.
Aw.
It was like 3 weeks or so before or since I last saw you.
Yeah, it has been a while. I mean, I've seen you since, just not in the studio.
Yeah, but also it's been like, hey, on the street or texting or something fast. So let's have a catch-up day.
I know.
Because there's
so
lots.
Much to talk about.
I know. Yes. And there's lots of happened in the last 3 weeks. So
I was thinking on the way in how we used to text like a week before, what should we do the show about? And then a couple days before, how about we talk about this? And then one day before, okay, here's how we're going to do it. And now it's like, we'll just figure it out, right? Because there is really so much.
There is always lots.
Yes.
And I think maybe because we hold it, because we were working in the industry all the time, it's just in our brains all the time.
Yeah, so we're sort of moving from a theme-based weekly show to more of a current events.
Kind of, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Although some of those theme-based shows were awesome.
I know, they were awesome.
Like the one on color was
yes,
so good.
Yes, that was a good show.
And the one on play?
Yes.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for 4 years.
4 years. That's a nice body
time.
Of work.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
A long, long time.
But it kind of makes it hard. We don't want to repeat ourselves.
No.
So it's hard to find new themes to talk about. It's much kind of easier in a way to go current affairs in the arts and design sector.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So
anyway,
we're back and we're talking about so much to talk about.
Yeah. So I want to do like, okay.
Maybe we could
Who
start.
Who gets priority?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Yesterday at the art gallery, we had an open reading of the 94 calls to action from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission report.
Very powerful, I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, so the current exhibition at the gallery is Kannada Kelmuhulu, and it is a curated show that's curated by Aaron Leon, who's Spotchin photographer, awesome dude who works at the language center there, helping to document and the Sequatmichin language, the dialect from the Spotchin area. And he curated the show with five Aboriginal artists. And we have Tanya Willard and Dion Kazas and Mary Thomas, not the senior Mary Thomas, but the young Mary Thomas.
Yes.
And
Thomas Jr.
Yeah. Hopu Haskett and David Wilson.
Wow.
So fabulous group of people.
Yeah.
But also Aaron is presenting a little piece of a project he was working on with this other fellow whose name just fell out of my head.
Right.
Of augmented reality. They are producing the entire Tweedamus play that, if you saw that a few years ago down in Enderby, it was a Runaway Moon Splatching partnership production. They're doing an augmented reality app of that play.
I did see that. That's kind of mind-blowing.
It is.
Yes.
So it's like you hold an iPad and you're looking at a page. The iPad scans the little pattern on the page, and then up pops this 3D image that you can move around, and it uses the background of what the camera is seeing on the iPad in front of you, but it also adds this extra layer of activity and characters.
It's very
and
trippy.
Story. And the most powerful part, of course, is that like the Tweedamus play was presented in English, but this is presented in Sequatmichin.
Yes.
So it's the language. It's their language that is so close to extinction. We have to work and
Absolutely.
Support that community in their work to restore the language. And,
wow.
Yeah. So anyway, so this is the setting.
Yes.
The show is the setting for yesterday's event.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was we just sent the word out there that we would just read out the calls to action. There are 94 calls to action. And when I saw Senator Marie Sinclair at the CMA conference in March and listened to him speak, which was so powerful.
And he was the commissioner.
Yes.
Yes.
And he was, I don't know, like, I just feel like everybody in the world, I hope he does a TED talk or something because everybody needs to hear that man speak. He is incredible. And of course, one of the things that I took away from that was we can't just we can't just put the onus of fixing this problem on the churches and the government that screwed it up in the first place, right?
I know.
All of us as Canadians, no matter what your heritage, all of us as Canadians have to fix this.
Yes.
Have to heal this. And so the only difference that I can see between this process and other things that have been tried in the past, you know, in North America and everywhere in the world, is that we're starting this process with truth.
Yes.
And therein lies the you know, the rub. We have to know the truth. We have to recognize what happened, and we have to learn it. And it's hard, and it's emotional, and it's like devastating to even think about the residential school.
Right.
You know, all the things that happened there. But that's what we have to do first
before we there's no forward. Trust if there's no truth.
Right. Yeah. So that was a very, you know, powerful beginning to the process yesterday. Aaron opened up the floor with people saying, you know, just asking people to, you know, tell what they knew about the residential schools. And so we heard some stories and some, you know, things that people just had heard, and was really hard to kind of say those words out loud, but they happened. And then, so we had about a half an hour of that, and then we started reading the calls. And it was pretty intense.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long did it take?
About 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And we didn't stop very often. There was a couple times where we stopped specifically because there was a reference to something that we weren't sure what it was, like an act or a lot of references to like the United Nations
Declaration
for Indigenous rights. Yeah. And, but there were some other documents that are referenced in there that we didn't know. So we stopped, and fortunately, like Cindy Dirkhaus was there. She helped us with one of them. Aaron knew some of the pieces. So we did, I mean, it just was, it was an important first step. And I think we all need to recognize how, everybody has to make those first steps.
Yes.
That we can't sit back and let other people figure out how to make those first steps.
I know. We're so sure it's someone else's problem to fix.
Yeah.
It's not.
And even the calls, like I thought Aaron did a really great job of explaining in the beginning, these are calls to action. This is not, because you know, it's like all of them start with, we call upon the government of Canada, provincial governments, Aboriginal governments to do blah. Right?
Yes.
And so it's hard to, for, if you're somebody who has been seeing the launch and the failure of so many programs to help this and that, to help health and education and, you know, all these things for Aboriginal communities, you could probably look at this as being like, okay, here we go again.
Right.
So he was really clear about saying, these are calls to action. These are not the government saying, we think this should happen. And this is not just a group of people saying, you guys should do this. This is a call to action to all Canadians. So it's not like this document means anything until we put it into action.
Yes.
So that was the...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the similar model that was used in South Africa for apartheid, mm-hmm. the Truth and Reconciliation.
Yeah. Yeah. You just can't move forward until you know the truth.
Absolutely.
So, and that led us to talk after the fact about when we first learned about residential schools.
I honestly can't remember learning about them in school.
No.
Only in my adult lifetime.
Yeah.
But my children know about it.
Yeah.
So that gives me.
Yeah, I know. Right. I feel like we're getting somewhere now.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. I was an adult. I was in the First Nations. It was actually called Native Studies.
Is that right?
The first Native Studies course that Grand Prairie College ever offered. And that's where I learned about resident schools. And it wasn't because of that course, because it wasn't about that. It was because there were Aboriginal people in the class.
Right.
And one fellow who was in the class was Inuit, and he and his brothers were taken and put in residential school in the north. And the only difference was that he was allowed to be with his brothers.
Okay.
So he said, well, you know, I was 12 years old and I had my brothers. So, you know, the devastating effect of being ripped apart from your parents and your siblings at the same time wasn't like his experience.
I see.
But that was the first time I ever learned that there was such a thing that...
How could... Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
So I do feel like we're starting from a place of... And maybe Aboriginal people, that's one thing that they can do to kind of understand the settler culture people and how we're dealing with this, is that this is the first we're learning about this. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like it was, that the government and the churches allowed the population to know what was happening. I felt like there must have been some effort to hide what was happening.
To cover it up?
Because if you didn't know about it as a kid, and people said this yesterday too, that they didn't know why there were no First Nations kids in their class. here in Salmon Arm. You know, there's like one or two. And they thought, oh, well, you know, I guess there's not very many young people, you know, in the neighboring bands.
Right.
They had no idea that they'd been taken and put in the residential school in Kamloops. Like, it's, we just didn't know. Mm-hmm. So it's not like teachers would tell you that as students. And it's not like anybody ever talked about it. It's not like it was on the news.
No.
So
wow,
we are starting from a place of learning, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Begin all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned a lot about First Nations and in history, but it was all about the Algonquin and the Iroquois, and the Iroquois were bad and the Algonquin were good and the Hurons were better, except for, you know, that time they did this thing. So it was all about whoever was colonizing and their relationship to the...
Yeah.
Right?
And about the fur trade.
The fur trade, and they would trade and...
Yeah.
Right?
That was our knowledge of it. Yeah. It was all history. It was not contemporary. Yeah. Ugh.
I wonder if it's... Now I think back, like, if you think about, say, maybe late 80s, early 90s, Dances with Wolves and The Black Robe and... that movie with Robert De Niro and the falls in South America. And we started to weave into a more common narrative, and people were like, wait a minute, we did that? That was terrible what we did.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe it took Hollywood to kind of crack open that.
Well, or storytelling.
Yeah. But I mean, even then, right? Like, it's taken like how many
popular
decades?
Popular culture storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long has it taken, though, for Aboriginal people to be able to tell that story?
Oh.
Like, this has all been the white settler
totally.
Perspective. And even so, you know, it's taken so long.
Yes.
And we're still not there. We're still not.
Yeah. Not even close.
Yeah.
No. But that was my takeaway from Canada 150. For me, Canada 150 was a lesson in truth and reconciliation. I realized I have a lot of... work to do.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different ways to look at an event or, right? So mm-hmm. I know it sounds shallow, but event planning actually taught me to be more sensitive.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it actually, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I've learned so much in the last 5 years because I think one of the things that I strive to accomplish at the gallery is to make sure that we have a diversity of voices, right? That we're telling the visual story. And so how to engage those voices has been my biggest learning curve.
In a respectful.
Yes.
Right.
Because it's not my role to say, okay, I need you and you and you.
Yes.
To,
right? I'm in charge and here's how it's going to look.
Yeah. It's not my role.
No.
So
it's very humbling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, I mean, it's a process too that, you know, if you're the kind of person that just likes to go in and say, okay, here's what we're going to do, everybody. And you build a thing and you know that that thing will be successful because your planning style has been successful in the past.
Yeah. This is how we roll. This is how it's done.
Well,
there's wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to pull all of that stuff out of your, you know, of your system and start from nothing and just, and let it happen the way it's supposed to happen. It's very hard. I've had to learn to just really let go.
I know. For me, 2017 will have been a lesson in humility, you know?
Yes.
So, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, me too. Very grateful. So one of the things I didn't mention was that the Kannada Kelmuhulu exhibition is only on until November 10th. So you've got 3 more days to see it. Super important that you see this show.
Yes.
Like, really important.
Yes. And it's not a giant time commitment. It's really, if you're out and about, stop in.
Yeah.
Right?
We're downtown.
Yes.
We're open Tuesday to Saturday, 11 till 4. And just take 10 minutes on your lunch break. Take your coffee break. I don't know. Just come in and see it.
Totally. Yeah. Take your coffee break.
Mm-hmm.
Although we don't really want you drinking coffee in the gallery, do we?
No, you'd have to leave your coffee at the front desk. But
yes,
if you just have 10 minutes in your day that you can get away, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think for
by
me,
donation, last week was bring your kid to work day. So I brought someone else's kid.
Yeah.
And I took her to that.
Excellent.
I tried to get her into that, the reading of the calls, but this is school day, so
yeah,
I couldn't.
I
right?
know.
Because young people are very sensitive about what happened. And they're also looking to grown-ups for answers, and we're like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't have any answers, right? Yeah. So they're teaching us. So I said to her, listen, if this is something you're sensitive to and interested in, then you need to read the Truth and Reconciliation Commission findings.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard document to read.
And you need to, right? Let's not make the mistake so many of us made that we assumed that we know better, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't assume that you know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Or you know how, I'm not suggesting she does, but because we want to solve problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really it has to come from a place of authentic learning.
Yes.
Right? And if you don't know it.
Yeah.
Right?
And we're in a time of, you know, the very tiny little bites of information.
Yes.
Right? Where we think we know something because we read three sentences on it.
We absolutely are super biased in everything we do. And everyone has a bias. We just don't know we have it. And that's one of the biases, that I've got this much teensy-weensy bit of information, therefore I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is so interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is an investment. It's true. Like, it's a long report.
Yes.
But the stories are there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to read, but it's all of our responsibilities.
Totally.
Every single Canadian.
Yeah.
It's
and absolutely
our responsibility.
In the hands of the younger generation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of younger generation, older generation.
Yeah. That's true. And this is exciting. Arts BC is doing a cultural forum in Salmon Arm.
Yeah, we're so fortunate that they're coming here. They're only coming to Salmon Arm and Penticton.
Yes.
So, I mean, hello. This is like, what a great opportunity. We don't even have to drive on the highway.
I know. Normally we have to go somewhere to get this kind
of
information.
Yeah, I know. Like, there's been stuff in Kamloops and Kelowna.
I think we're just not used to the idea.
I know.
Yeah. So,
like, oh,
in typical Salmon Arm form, we're like, what, here? And I don't want to hear on November 18th, I didn't know about it.
Oh my gosh, no
right?
kidding.
So if you're connected to an arts group, you will have received an email.
Yeah.
And if you're managing an art group, you need to send the email out to the group.
Well, and this is the problem with me, right, with all of our arts group members, is I have one point of contact, so I have to request that they send it out to all their member groups or other members of their group. But I'm relying on that heavily. But any volunteer, any staff person, any board member from any arts sector nonprofit is welcome to attend this seminar. It is 9 till 3 on Friday, November 17th. It costs $25 and you get lunch. And it's at City Hall.
Yes.
So I think it's so, like, it's so cheap and it's right here and you get food and you get the incredible knowledge of the two speakers that are coming from the coast to help us through these three important issues, and that is board development, succession planning, and strategic partnerships.
Strategic partnerships.
Okay, we're going to just break that down, because for some people, it's like, what, strategic partnerships? Scary.
It's like doing cool stuff with other people.
That's it.
To save money.
That's all it is.
And it's win. Winning!
Yeah. So let's get into strategic partnerships at the end of this.
Okay.
Because...
Well, I just explained the whole thing.
I know, you just did.
Talk about it.
Actually, we don't even need to talk about it.
I'm kidding.
Done.
Done.
Boom, done.
Yeah.
So, board development.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a bit bored.
Boring.
Boring. Dry.
But it isn't.
It is not.
No.
Because the world is changing.
Well, it should be called like team recruitment. Who do you want on your team?
Yeah.
And do you need a goalie or do you need a defense person or do you need a star? What do you need?
Yeah. And also, we have to sort of think about who started these arts organizations, right? Those were women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say, there's a lot of estrogen in this sector.
Yes, of course there is.
Women in their 30s and 40s and 50s started these organizations.
Yeah, once their kids were in school.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
My mom was on every, she sewed costumes for the theater. She made cookies for the bake sale. She worked, you know, she worked at the daycare. She was like in there.
Yep.
Because she wasn't formally employed.
Yeah.
She worked all the time, but she wasn't, you know.
Yeah, didn't have an outside job.
Totally.
Right? Like an outside.
Yeah. And because, you know, in those days, dad was at work and mom was at home. And once the kids were in school, there was extra time and they built incredible organizations.
Yeah.
But you know what? My mom is 82.
Yeah.
She is not sewing costumes for the theater group anymore.
Yep.
No, she's taking tickets at the film festival. That's what she does.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Right? So they're still doing it, but yeah. They can't be.
No.
We owe it to them to say, okay, you know what? You guys carried the load for like 40 years.
Yeah.
50 years. It's our turn.
Yeah. Well, and not only is it our turn, but.
And it's their turn. Like, the men and women after us.
I know. Yeah. And this is the leadership issues I think we're facing. Yeah. And so board development is talking about leadership. Mm-hmm. Who is going to lead these organizations when this next decade has seen the mass exodus of mm-hmm. the founders of these organizations?
And it's demographics too, because mm-hmm. they're the baby boom, we're the baby bust, and then after us is a little bit of a boom. So like our generation, there are fewer of us.
Yeah.
So to me, that's sort of explains what's happening.
Yeah.
So it's going to kind of jump a generation and go to the millennials.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've built the bridge we need to build.
No.
And so we need these workshops. We need to understand, how do we bring in the millennials?
Yeah.
And that, they want to be involved.
Well, they do. They just want to be involved in a different way.
Yes.
They're not 40-year commitment people.
No.
They are about something, believing in something.
Give me something meaningful that I can accomplish.
Yeah, working for short periods of time, yes. of measurable accomplishment, yes. and then I go away.
That I can use to ladder to the next thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And they also need to be able to text you, to email you, to mm-hmm. Facebook you, right? And I guarantee you, in fact, I know, we know this. We have probably over, would you say, like 60 arts groups in some way, shape, or form in the Shuswap.
Mm-hmm.
How many would you venture to guess are on Facebook? Have a phone number that people can phone and someone else can pick up.
Well, not that many.
Not that many.
Yeah.
Right? And this, again, it's not a character flaw, but if you want the next generation to be connected to your group, you have to connect to them in a way that they can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have heard stories. Well, I phoned and nobody phoned me back.
Yeah.
Right? Well, they don't have an answering machine at that place.
Yeah.
Right? Or that person is no longer involved in that organization. Right?
Well, that's a constant struggle mm-hmm. that we have, that mm-hmm. as boards change, you know, our contacts changes. So sometimes people get a contact from us.
Yes.
And then they call us back and say, yeah, that person hasn't been on the board for 4 years.
Yes. And it's our responsibility to seek them out, I think. So, I mean, I think that's the Gen Xer's job, is to connect them.
Build the bridge.
Yeah.
Well, the Gen Xers are kind of, they're more like the baby boomers than the millennials. So we're speaking the language of the boomers. We're learning to speak the language. Mm-hmm. of the millennials. So we have to, you're right.
Do you think, I think we're more like them then.
I
really think I'm the bridge. Like I can explain to my dad what my son's generation is doing. Even if I can't do it the way.
Yeah.
Oh, he's sort of post-millennial.
We're like the translators.
Right? Or I can explain to my dad what my students are doing.
Yeah.
Right? And how they're doing it differently.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily make me good at how they do it, but I know it, right?
Yeah.
I know what they're doing.
But your process as a person, mm-hmm. how you invest your time, how you spend your time professionally and voluntarily and everything, don't you feel like we're a bit more like the boomers than we are like the millennials? Like, I think that millennials are just such a leap into a different structure of society
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that we're trying to figure them out as fast as, you know, as fast as we're still trying to figure ourselves out.
No, I don't feel like that.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
I feel like the X, literally, that's holding the two groups together.
Okay, oh, yeah.
You over here and you over here.
Yeah.
You guys need to talk to each other. There aren't enough of me to do this, right? And it's true. There, like, Gen X, there simply aren't enough of us.
Yeah.
Right? So we need to be careful about what we think we can do.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, we never got
You must
a prime
be a
minister.
Mediator. Are you a mediator in the... You know,
yeah, I'm a connector. That's my that's my whatever profile, psychological profile.
Yeah,
but We never got our own prime minister. Right, we got skipped for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because there weren't enough of us. But we're here now, and it's our job to translate, to be the translators, mm-hmm. so that the succession can happen.
Yes, well, there we go, into succession planning. So that's the other element that we'll be talking about, and succession planning really is about how to pass on the roles and responsibilities mm-hmm. of your organization onto another generation or another group of people.
Yes.
And there does have to be a plan. And sometimes, like what I did in our last board retreat, is gave them a scenario. Like, you know, we have a co-chair, Dolores Murray, who's mm-hmm. been the boots on the ground for our organization for 30 some years. So that's a thing that would be impossible to replace. And then I've been there for 15 years mm-hmm. in a role that's evolved from basically administrator through to director curator. So the scenario was, both me and Dolores have just given you our 6-month notice. Mm-hmm. What is your plan?
Oh, I thought you were going to have some where we went out and we were on a bus and yeah, like no. kidnapped.
Okay. The hit by the bus syndrome syndrome. Hit by the bus situation is definitely a thing to think about. Mm-hmm. But more realistically, yeah, we've just given our notice at the same time. Yes. And so you've got all of that organizational knowledge in the heads of two people who are then going to say, I'm going to Mexico mm-hmm. or whatever, right? Like whatever's going to happen, sure. They're gone. They're not accessible anymore.
Yes.
What's the plan? So they had to come up with a plan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good plan.
Yeah.
And how'd it go?
Well, pretty good. I still think it was a bit weak because, mm-hmm. of course, it was like sudden. It was like, oh, okay, well, I guess we would do this. I guess we'd do this. But going forward now, they know, okay, that plan has to be fleshed out.
Yes.
We have to figure out some details there.
Absolutely.
And I think that was a really great start. Mm-hmm. So that's that's one way you can talk to your board. If you're thinking about that, thinking about, well, we don't really have a succession plan. We'd probably just wing it. We'd probably just, just do the imagining.
Well, it's so unfortunate because the sunk cost, like you put so much money into the organization of an organization and you kind of wing the transition plan. You're not only are you jeopardizing the way forward, you're also wasting the money you spent previously.
Yes. And two important things happen. We got to take a break. Yeah. Two big things happen when this kind of succession planning doesn't get properly mapped out. Organizational amnesia.
Yes.
So the history's just about gone, right? And a dip in revenue.
You're
going to see like a loss of funding because you've got grant things being missed and you've also got sponsorship relationships that are not there anymore.
Yeah.
So two things you don't want to happen
no.
to your organization.
Absolutely.
And we're really lucky that the RSPC is sending two facilitators to Salmon Arm to give us a cultural, what are we calling it?
Cultural forum.
A cultural forum.
Yes.
And that's Friday, November 17th. It's at City Hall.
Lunch.
You get lunch. It's $25.
$25.
And you can register on Eventbrite.
Yes.
I put the registration link up on our Facebook page. So you can find that at Salmon Arm Arts Center.
Yes.
And also I'm emailing the link to all of our member groups. But if you're a board member, a volunteer, or a staff member with any arts organization,
yes,
do this. Mm-hmm. I can't stress
or
it enough.
Or even a member of an arts organization.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Are you a quilter?
Yeah.
Right? Are you a painter?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a potter?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you wonder what's going to happen? What does this thing look like in 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're of a certain age mm-hmm. and you're concerned mm-hmm. about what your organization might look like in 10 years, because you know that, I'm just going
to. We're not being alarmist here. We just need to be practical. And
but
artists are not
so people,
practical.
I've seen this at the fall fair because I talk to conveners every year at the fall fair. And almost all the conveners that I know of are of a certain age. They're not like elderly, but they're of an age where they're starting to think about taking off for winters and stuff like that, right? So, and they're all trying to retire. They keep saying, oh, this is my last year, but I can't find someone to shadow
right.
me. Next year's for sure my last year, but nobody's coming up behind me. I don't know who's going to take this over. My volunteer team is dwindling every year. Like they're all talking about it. So this is your chance to find out what we can do to make sure that the thing that we've worked so hard for doesn't collapse when we're gone.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
And so, I would even go as far as saying that even nonprofit groups who are working with arts groups should think about attending. Like the Shoe Shop Community Foundation, the Fall Fair,
Yeah.
You know, there's so much value in this.
That's true.
Board development, succession planning,
strategic partnerships. It kind of goes across the board, doesn't it? Like all that stuff is pretty
linear. So that's what I'm going to do after the show. I'm going to reach out to them and make sure they know.
Yeah. Good plan.
They should be sending someone.
So the third point, strategic partnerships. I think that this is a scary phrase for some people because they don't really know. It sounds very businessy.
Do we have to share?
Well, and we do it's, like our autonomy.
It's like our thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm not sure what it is. Like the arts sector traditionally kind of operates in silos, right? Because we have all these divisions. There's performing arts and visual arts and literary arts and, right? We all just kind of do our thing. It's hard to imagine collaborating because in a creative industry, you do what you want to do.
Yes.
And your results are because you've been passionate about what you do.
It's your thing. You take credit for it. Your objectives, your goals, your budget, your reward. And then all of a sudden someone says, hey, why don't we partner up? And you're like, wait, what?
What?
But it's actually very rewarding. And it can be a strategic partnership. It can be with a for-profit entity. It can be with another arts group.
Yeah. It could be with a totally different NPO.
It could be with a sports group. It could be with a hockey team. It could be with a Rotary Club. Like there's all sorts of
and it doesn't
opportunities
have
to mix it up a bit.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a long-term anything.
No.
Right? Like sometimes you can just try it out. Like when we partnered with the Shoes Up Trail Alliance to do the Trail Mix exhibition. And so we had early meetings about sort of, you know, okay, what is this going to look like? How are we going to map this out? What is, you know, who are the people? What is the timeline? All that kind of stuff. And it was weird working with another organization.
Yeah, like it's kind of like a date. You have to kind of know each other.
It's true.
Right?
And then after a while, it was just so normal.
Yes.
It was like, oh, well, I'll just call Phil and see what's this happening over here. As soon as we kind of figured out who was responsible for what, it was just like, it was like a good marriage.
It was a dream date.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just went along. We had a fantastic project.
Yes.
And the legacy is this awesome little book that we've got.
Yeah. And the relationship between the two is so much greater. And the relationship between artists and hikers now.
Yeah.
It turns out, you know what? They're kind of the same person.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing. As arts groups, we think they're only interested in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
No.
It turns out that people who listen to opera also watch movies, also go hiking.
Yeah.
Also go for dinner.
And maybe go to hockey games.
Right. And they even go, they're ambicultural.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that word.
Ambicultural. It's a great word.
Yeah. And so why not connect them up?
Yeah.
Right?
And we learned from...
You share resources. The margins are better. Yeah.
And we learned from that, too, just how much awareness, you know, like, well, people were telling us in at the end of the project that I had no idea we had 300 trails in the Shuswap.
Yeah.
And I now that I've been out on this trail, I want to go see that trail and I want to do this and I want to do that. So we have a mutual benefit, right? Like a lot of people did that crossover and say, you know, I thought I already hiked and did stuff. And now I realize that all these stewards are taking care of these trails. And now I feel like I'm so much more connected to this space because I've learned this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that kind of feedback is what made me realize there was so much, you know, blending of knowledge and experience that it was
it's very meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good thing.
Yeah. It was a good thing. Yeah.
And Phil is so awesome. That it made it easier.
And he would say you're awesome because you are.
There's a lot of awesome people in this community. Yeah. And that's the thing. If you kind of connect with certain leaders and say, you know, and that's all that happened with Phil and I.
And sometimes it just has to be, why don't we try this out?
We did. Yeah. We were at the Foundation's ACM and we had just talked about the storytelling
show. That's their annual community meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had just accepted a grant for the storytelling exhibition in 2014. It was 2013, I guess, when we got the grant. So, and then Phil was accepting a grant for something else. And he was the one that said to me after the meeting, when we're all standing around talking, he's like, wow, you're about storytelling. We're all about storytelling. We should really do something.
See?
That's all it was. We're like, yep, mm-hmm. Let's do something.
Oh, yeah.
So connect with other leaders. Mm-hmm. Just see what could come of it. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. And funders love collaborative. They love collaboration.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're looking for something. Well, show me that you have more than your own self-interest.
Exactly. Show me you can be innovative.
Yes. Yeah.
Because people want, and funders want you to be innovative with the money, right? They don't want you just paying the hydro bills and stuff. They want you to do something that's impactful.
Yeah. So now I'm excited about the strategic partnership piece. And it's critical. We cannot. I don't want to say continue because we're not doing it as much, but small towns have a tendency to work in silos.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's a Potter thing, or that's a opera thing, or that's a, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, not anymore.
It's a different world.
Mm-hmm.
And technology is infiltrating every single part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we no longer can see tech as a separate thing from arts or as a separate from recreation, or right? It's in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that we need to adapt to. Maybe it's something we can partner with some tech companies to kind of figure something out.
Totally. And like the whole sports arts thing, there's a ton of potential there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is the Dancing with the Stars, which, right? So they're hosting this amazing, so the Larch Hill Ski Club, who's expanding their chalet, was looking for an idea to raise some money and raise awareness. They came up with Dancing with the Shuswap Stars. Huge hit,
mm-hmm.
right? Can't get a ticket to save your life.
Yeah.
And it's art. I mean, it's an art. They turn to the arts. So now they're training a bunch of us to dance using professional instructors. It's fantastic.
Yeah. How's it going?
Oh, it's great. I love it. It's so much fun. I'm sore. I had practice last night, so I'm a little sore.
Yeah. Are you allowed to tell us, like, what song you're dancing to? What kind of dance?
I've let some of it out on Facebook. I'm sort of thinking now I just want to keep it quiet, so.
What? Keep it quiet? That's not the point of this. You're supposed to be.
Well, no, I think the element of surprise is important. I want the audience to have a nice time.
Yeah.
And I think when you get out there and you hear the music, you'll enjoy it more. I haven't even showed my husband my pictures.
What? Mm-mm. Nice.
He knows the song. A lot of people know the song, but we're just going to leave that.
Okay. That's a crazy time because it's the same day as this ArtsBC seminar.
Yeah.
Like 9 to 3, you'll be like all brainiac. And then after that, you'll be going on.
And then after that, I have a heritage meeting. And then I have a run through. And then I have it's going to be a busy day.
Yeah.
Actually, it'll be good because it'll keep my mind occupied.
Is there time to get your hair done or something?
Yeah. Like, I'll fit that in there somewhere.
I just get somebody.
But dancing is so fun. It's just such a lovely way to spend time.
Who's your partner?
Oh, his name is Nick Fauché. He's from Vernon.
Yeah.
And he's just a delightful human being. And he's been so helpful. And it's honestly, you get such a... What's kind of the feeling you have after you ride your bike? You know, the endorphins and so much joy. So
that's
if
so
you
exciting.
Hate the idea of going to the gym, think about going to the dance studio.
Oh.
Like, now I want to take tap.
Really?
But I don't want to do it before the competition because I'm afraid I'll hurt myself and then I won't be able to compete. So, after.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and I know that there's lots of opportunities for adults in San Marino.
Oh, for sure. We have huge dance community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah. So, it's very exciting.
Oh, is there any chance of any of this being broadcast through technological means?
It's funny you should ask. Actually, Roxy at Shuswap event, they're going to do a live feed so you
really?
Can watch at home.
Oh. Or at the gallery? Because it's opening night of True North.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm worried that...
Well, it's not really going to happen till, right?
What?
Like,
when does it start?
I think the doors open at 7:00. And I think the first round, the couples round, is at 8:00, and the pro-am is at 9:05.
So when would you be dancing?
Not till after 9:00.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm totally going to come and see you.
Yeah.
Yay. Am I allowed to like wear the big foam finger and be like, woo, 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 woo?
As long as you don't get in the way of other people's big foam fingers, I guess. Yeah, I expect there'll be a lot of hooting and hollering.
Yes.
Because everyone's bringing their cheering squad. But anyway.
That's why it sold out in 10 minutes.
Yeah, totally.
That was crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Are you, like, are the nerves starting to get to you? Or are you just going to be...
No, I'm just trying to focus on getting it right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what... Anyway,
The dress rehearsal was Saturday night, and I wouldn't say I was nervous. I was preoccupied, sort of... pacing a little bit but I didn't have actual butterflies.
Yeah.
And then once I got out there, it's so fast, like it's less than 2 minutes, and it is a quick quick dance. So
yeah,
and then it was over and people were happy and I'm like, okay, I guess we're done. Right. So,
but you know what they say about that nervous energy?
Yes.
Is that it's your body giving you energy to do the thing.
To do it. Oh yeah.
So
well, it worked.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So,
so exciting.
It is exciting.
Well, congratulations on being so brave.
Well, thank you.
But and
I mean,
energetic.
I just think it's a great
artistic
collaborative effort.
Yeah.
Between, you know, cross-country skiers and dancers and, yeah, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a great lesson for all of us to learn.
That wonderful this is collaboration.
Yeah.
A very strategic partnership.
Successful.
And the best part is now they're training the hospice, Shuswap Hospice, who's going to take it on next year.
Ah.
Right? So that's another key is the transfer of knowledge.
Yeah.
You owe it. If you as a group have been given some gift, either through an event that's just been a rock star event or a grant process where you've been successful, I feel as arts groups, we have the obligation to share that with, mm-hmm, right?
Because
don't hoard it. Share it.
Yeah, because we're often not in competition with each other.
No, and there are centers of excellence, right? Mm-hmm. Roots and Blues is a center of excellence.
Yeah.
Haney Heritage is a center of excellence. District Arts Council is a center of excellence. But if you keep all that to yourself, all you're doing is impoverishing the rest of the arts culture.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
No.
No.
No, we want all of us to succeed.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why, I mean, I get that comment so often when people say anything about commercial galleries in our neighborhood, in the downtown.
Yeah, doesn't that make you mad?
Yeah, they say, oh, you got competition. I'm like, are you kidding me?
No,
if I had my way, I'd have three or four commercial galleries within like spitting distance of our gallery.
And there, boom, boom, boom.
Yes.
Boom. Yeah, the more.
We want it.
Absolutely.
Oh. Anyway.
Because it creates a sector.
That's right.
And we
create
absolutely
a vibe.
Have a sector.
We need that kind of energetic vibe in our area.
Or a district. Or
Yeah. And that would totally work. So
yeah, a precinct, I think, is the...
Ooh, a precinct,
yeah,
okay.
Cultural precinct.
I like it.
We do have the little triangle, right? You get the...
We do.
Theater and
we're
then
getting there.
The movies and then the gallery.
Yep. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Hip
sure.
on Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hip on Hudson. I love it.
Yeah. And now...
As the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, one thing that we've been talking about today is that things change.
Yes, and you have to keep up with the times.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's okay to change things.
Yes.
Like we talked about, oh, well, I don't know if we've talked about, but certainly it's been on the news about toppling monuments and removing the names of mm-hmm. people from schools mm-hmm. if they've been discovered to be, you know, if they were proponents of slavery and things like that, right? Like it's okay to change things because we learn as we evolve.
Yes. And it's part of, again, truth and reconciliation.
Yeah.
Right? But on a slightly... less heavy subject. So I don't know about you. Also, the other thing in the fall that's a big deal is all the great books are published.
Mm, yeah.
Like it's book season.
Right.
And whether it's like epic literature or the best Christmas book for kids, whatever it is, you know, it's all books all the time. Anyway, I happened to see on Upworthy, which is another site we love to visit, that they're making changes to children's classics, like my personal favorite, Richard Scarry. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I look at those books still, and they're just so full of joy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they've gone in new editions and updated some of the illustrations so that they're more respectful and reflective of the way things are now.
Ah.
Not the way. You know, he was a failed... was it Richard Scarry? I think that he worked for Vogue magazine and they said he had no talent. Can you imagine? You missed him. He was right there.
Yeah.
It's not helping me out here. But so little things like, so Richard Scarry was all about life in a small town, right? Mm-hmm. And so there'd be like the pickle car, right? And the carrot car and the bunnies would drive in the carrot car. Anyway, so now it's things like, instead of just the mommy bunny in the kitchen, it's the mommy and the daddy bunny, right? And
yeah.
Instead of, I'm assuming here because I can't pull it up right this minute, you know, instead of just the daddies driving the pickle cars, right? Or in the fire trucks.
Yeah.
So it's a new and improved Richard Scarry.
Yeah.
Right?
And the story, stories haven't really changed. It's the illustrations.
No, it's still,
it's the way that we've interpreted the story that's changing. Because, I mean, people out there might think, well, you can't just go back and change literature.
No.
That's true.
Not a conversation about changing what happened in the past.
Right.
It's a conversation about how do we better reflect what's happening now.
Yeah.
Right.
How we present it to the next generation without saying, well, yeah, but we did have different ideas back then about gender and.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just about.
So I think part of our social strife right now is there are people who are having trouble dropping that rope.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's the grown-ups' problem. It's not the millennials. It's not the Gen Z. It's not.
Yeah.
It's us. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Difficult.
Change is hard.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of people can support their arguments with all kinds of, you know, all kinds of ideas about honoring the past and things like that. But you have to sort of think at some point, what's better for the future? Like, how do we make it so that all of us feel included and equal and right? Like, we have to make changes if we're going to be able to get along better.
Because the 8-7 most dangerous words in the English language are because we've always done it that way.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's the worst.
6, because we always done it that way. No, 7. 7. Those are them.
Yeah. And that's a art sector thing too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That if you find yourself ever saying those words, then you know it's time to change.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If Richard Scarry can do it, so can we.
Yeah.
I just wish I could open up this beautiful image and tell you more about it.
But well, so you found it on Upworthy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
Sometimes
men can be flight attendants and women can be pilots.
Well,
that's a Richard Scarry, right?
Yeah.
let's see. Gosh, this illustrations are just so beautiful. Christmas isn't the only holiday people celebrate.
Wow.
I know, right? Mind blowing. There's a menorah in there now. Mommy bears are no longer expected to have breakfast prepared for daddy bears. Right?
Yeah.
And it's true that children's literature is very impactful on.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Dads can cook, too. Mm-hmm. Even dad bunnies. And helping professions aren't just for men. So you can be a doctor and you can be a firefighter, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah.
So that's, in a way that's the other handoff that we're going to be doing in the art sector, too, right? Traditionally, the volunteers have been women who have been the wives of professional husbands who were able to give their time and energy. And we're handing off to a generation who do not have that luxury.
No.
Two income families are kind of required now in order to own a house and, you know, keep clothes on your kids and all. So what does that look like, right? What does that handoff look like? It's going to have to be to both genders. It's going to have to be, or to all genders. It's going to have to not be this, you know, the traditional matronly. I don't know. I'm going to be careful of my words here.
No. Well, why? That's exactly what I totally.
But I feel
we have to pass the baton is what we're saying.
But what I'm saying is that we can't just pass it to other women. We have to make sure that there's equality of gender when we're looking at succession planning and board development and bringing people on. Like, yeah, it's pretty traditional that women are the multitaskers and they can juggle 18 responsibilities. But we shouldn't have to because it's tiring, it's exhausting. And if we're working full time and raising kids and keeping a household and running nonprofit organizations, that's taking a toll on something. And so we have to share that load.
Yeah. And that's not what we were put here for, was to clean up after other people. That's my new saying at home. I was not put here to pick up your socks.
Yeah.
I was not put here to put your dishes away. So if I was here to do things that I meant to do, so I need to go and do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go and do the things that you are meant to do, you had better pick up those socks. It's a whole new regime at my house.
Yeah.
Mind you, they're older now. It's different when they're babies.
I know. But when you're the mama bear, you do just take care of your babies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, you're learning how to raise young men
mm-hmm.
who are going to be men in a totally different, you know, society.
Oh, than absolutely.
You were raised
yes.
in. So their responsibilities.
Phenomenally different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And same with my girls.
Yeah, I lived in that Richard Scarry
yeah.
of old.
Yeah.
They live in the Richard Scarry of new. Actually, Richard Scarry, they've been changing those books for decades.
Right? Yeah.
But this was just something that came up I thought was interesting. But yeah.
Well, and it's just.
So don't make your kids live in the old Richard Scarry book.
No.
Don't. I really want a pickle car. That would be my dream. Can you just hear the little bell? Anyway.
Okay.
On
speaking
that
of change.
Yeah. It runs on vinegar.
Oh, see? Right. Renewable resource.
Absolutely.
It's all connected. All right. So we got a couple minutes left. Let's talk about the upcoming arts events.
Yeah. So Romeo and Juliet is still
on? Yes, it's on for the next 3 weekends. Last week I had Liz Hobbs on the radio.
Yes, I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, she was amazing. Well, she still is amazing.
Yes.
3 weekends, so it goes till the 18th. We had opening weekend last week and we went on Saturday. It's fantastic.
Mm.
I mean, it always blows my mind when you have people who are capable of remembering Shakespeare, right? Like of remembering yes. those lines.
Yes, thou art amazing.
Never mind mm-hmm. delivering them in a passionate way that makes sense for the audience, right?
Yeah, it's like mouth dancing. I just, you know, because like I'm having trouble remembering my steps. I can't imagine remembering a Shakespearean soliloquy. I'm not even sure I could say that again, right? Yeah.
And that, you know how I think as actors, you feed off each other. I mean, if you're making sense of the scene,
mm-hmm.
then your line comes naturally, right? And so if you're living the moment, well, your line doesn't come that naturally.
No.
Like you can't really just, if you've forgotten your line, you can't just wing it based on something you sort of think that you're in the situation mm-hmm. of, right? So you have to know your line.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was amazing. And the costumes are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the young people, oh my gosh.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Young people, they get into these things, like, and they go at it 110%.
Yes.
They're passionate. They're interested. They're focused. And they've got the ability to, you know, handle 18 things at the same time. They're already amazing. And they're still
and
texting at the same time.
In the audience?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Friends of. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what's interesting too is Liz said this during our time on the radio. She said she's done a lot of different Shakespeare plays
mm-hmm.
in them and directing them. And she said she looked at our demographic in Salmon Arm, like, oh, lots of old people, lots of young people. Okay, Romeo and Juliet it is.
Awesome.
That's the play that uses.
She looked at the demographics?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love her.
Yeah.
I'm in love. Every decision is we should be basing a lot of decisions on.
Yeah,
you know, we had a little bump in the millennials. I'm so excited.
Really?
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah, in the last census.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have to go over that with you. I wanted to talk to you. I saw that you had posted something on Facebook about mm-hmm. census, and I just didn't have time to.
No,
click.
No, fair.
But I want to talk about that. So yeah, so Romeo and Juliet goes on. Of course the. ArtsBC seminars on November 17th. Dancing with the Stars is on November 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Opening night of True North exhibition is on November 17th.
Wow. It's the trifecta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Romeo and Juliet's still on at that time.
Yes.
And we're getting ready for caravan season.
Yes.
So think about that. The Gift of the Magi is what they're presenting this year. So
yeah.
Tickets are
so
on.
So those will go fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You better get in on that. And yeah, so here we are in the Christmas season with a madness of events.
Well, we just feel it early because it's so bloody cold out.
I know. Wasn't that the weirdest thing to have an early winter?
Yeah, they're talking about the earliest ever ice wine récolte or whatever. Like,
but I don't even
harvest.
But
and he said 6 weeks ago it was 30 degrees.
Yeah,
and now I'm picking ice wine.
Yeah,
it's probably not going to be the best.
But I don't
ice wine. But
think that even non-white ice wine grapes are finished being picked.
No, because normally they're harvesting non-ice wine.
Yeah. So
the concern is about whether the vines will be able to deliver water, they're going to collapse or, you know, whatever. But
because we just learned that about grapevines, that if there's still water in them, they can burst like pipes, mm-hmm. right? And so then there might be a massive die-off of grapevines. Mm. This could be devastating.
So you better stock up for this.
Stock up on wine.
Practical. First, I'm like, okay, does that mean I need to buy more wine? But yeah, hopefully.
Okay. So
a crisis there.
Okay. More information on arts events on our website, on the participate page at salmonarmartcenter.ca, and check the Facebook page, Salmon Arm Arts Center. I've put the Eventbrite registration link on there as well. And then there's all the events listed by date on the participate page. Yeah. So just have some fun.
Yeah.
Catch up with your friends.
That's right.
Take them to Dancing with the Stars.
And come to the show. Got a couple days left.
Yeah. Come and see Kanata Kalmahulu. Yeah. It's not to be missed.
No.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.